piping porridge. Here's to the biscuit tot. Here's to the java flowing like lava out of the coffee pot. Here's to the eggs and bacon. Here's to the waffles unique. And here's three rousing cheers for the best meal of the week. For it's Sunday morning, breakfast time, the time all men adore.
Hi, I'm John Jackson.
And I'm Greg Patton.
And we're the Food Guys. Corby Cummer. Now, he's got an article in Smithsonian about breakfast cereal, in which he makes some peculiar confessions.
Well, it's not only about breakfast cereal, per se. It's about the manufacture of it and how much money goes into the R&D of coming up with particular crunch, particular combination of grains, the right amount of sweetness, also keeping in mind what people want. In other words, they don't want a cereal that's mostly sugar. In other words, you shouldn't have as a first ingredient sugar on the box, whether it's cornflakes or wheat flakes or rice chex. The first ingredient really should be the actual cereal itself. Yeah. The sugar, et cetera, should be down the line. And there shouldn't be too many extra ingredients in there. We should not have preservatives, for example.
Yeah.
He was the perfect person to write this article and do research. He went to Switzerland to the Nestle company. The biggest food company in the world is Nestle, and was taken on tour through how they not only manufacture these cereals, but the actual testing, the taste testing.
Yes.
But he says he's an absolute addict of a box of dry cereal. He said he basically cannot keep a box open without eating the whole darn thing.
Yes.
So he's actually the perfect person to write this article.
I guess. He not only went to Nestle, he also went to General Mills.
General Mills in this country, which is the sixth largest food company.
He taste tested various cereals and so forth. He certainly knows whereof he speaks when it comes to
food.
You know, what's good in a cereal as far as taste. There are some issues that he addresses, such as, should you even be advertising these to children who, after all, have no basis for making decisions about things?
Not at all.
Oh, good, yeah.
You know? Well, you see it on TV. You see people smiling as they're eating
smiling
it.
Smiling as they're eating.
And the kid says, of course I want to try that. I want to have some of that.
And there's the other thing that utterly dominates our food markets. Uh-huh. You have an entire aisle that is nothing but cereal, most of which are identical.
I never ate cereal growing
up. As a child?
When I was in Shanghai, I was being fed something called porridge, which was cooked something that was slimy and awful. And I really resisted eating it. But they said it was good for me and I had to do it. So I can't eat oatmeal. Occasionally we had dry cereals when our kids were growing up.
Yeah.
But we had very few varieties of dry cereal. We always looked for packages that the grain was the first ingredient, and preferably no sugar added. And I think there was a time when you could buy cereal that had no sugar added to it.
Absolutely.
Our kids, however, always wanted to have the sweetened cereal.
Yeah.
So once every 3 months, we allowed them to pick a box of their choice at the supermarket. Once every 3 months. What they picked was Lucky Charms.
Lucky Charms.
With these psychedelic marshmallows.
Just idiotic.
So we just recently visited our older son, David. He refreshed our memory about the Lucky Charms. And they said, well, why did you pick Lucky Charms? And he said, because the box was the biggest.
The box was the biggest. Oh, my. We ate cereal. But thinking about it, it's quite clear that the whole idea of breakfast cereal is from the Middle Ages, when basically they had nothing to eat but cereals.
Mm-hmm.
They ate it in as many different manners as they could. In loaves of bread, people ate a pound of bread a day. A working person did. You would also eat gruel, which was another way of eating cereal.
That's the porridge that I didn't eat.
Yeah, that's the porridge. Mm-hmm. It's different grains mixed up, usually with ale, to make gruel.
Well, I don't understand why there's a need to actually package sugar with the cereal, meaning to incorporate the sugar into the cereal. And what Corby points out is, prior to this demand from the public for healthier cereals, the sugar actually permeated the entire grain. And now what they're working on is just coating the outside of the grain. They're cutting back on the amount of sugar, but when you're eating it, the idea is to trick your taste buds and your brain into thinking it's getting the same jolt of sugar that it used to get. So they're spending hundreds of millions of dollars doing this kind of research. Why can't you just leave the sugar out? And if you want to put any on it, why can't you just take a teaspoon of sugar and sprinkle it on the flakes?
Exactly.
What is wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with that.
And then they're also concerned about bowl life.
Bowl life.
Yes.
I
meaning
love that
once you add milk,
what a
to the cereal.
Phrase.
How long do you have to eat the cereal before it turns to mush? And the answer is 3 minutes.
3 minutes.
Yes. Anyhow, it was a fascinating read.
Well, it is.
And the article was from the Smithsonian. The whole issue was devoted to food.
Corby is somewhat too accepting, and I think these are not wonderful people. He describes them invariably as wonderful, sweet, smiling people who say, oh, yeah, we can do that, blah, 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 blah. They're not. They're crooks.
Okay.
<let's> face it. Come back next week for The
Food,
food
Guys. Da 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 da